Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with me, Craig, Ash.
Hello, everybody.
And Mike.
Ahoy.
Hey, part of the gang. Obviously, normally Tom would be here. Tom is unavailable this entire week. He's that busy.
He's definitely not been killed by Mike.
He's not been killed by anyone, despite his threats on Twitter to kill Nathaniel Klein. Tom is gigging pretty solidly this week. So, but we thought it was about time with the season running. We actually got someone in who knows their football, knows their stats, knows their fantasy football. So we've got Mike in. Sorry, Ash. No offense.
I thought you were going to say, well, failing that, we got Mike.
No, yeah, well, Mike was on a few weeks back, those of you who listened, and obviously gave us an unbelievable insight and some good tips. I can't remember what you tipped, so just pretend that it was all great.
And yeah, it was amazing. I got
everything.
There you go.
We'll move on, no problem. But yeah, so game week 33 it was probably the most interactions we've ever had on Twitter, the most questions about what to do, what not to do, because of this pesky Scooby-Doo style game week where there weren't many games. Was it a good week? Again, we normally start by saying how we did. Ash, Mike, how did it go? Ash, we'll start with you. What was it? How was game week 33?
Same as everybody. It was no points. It was pretty bare for the whole league, wasn't it? I managed to get the team so that I had a full 11 players, and then Southampton conceded the two scabbiest goals of all time. So both my defenders got zero. Remy is just missing. He's KIA. So I ended up with three players not playing.
Drogba looks absolutely devastated that he's having to play 90 minutes.
I know.
He did not sign up for this whatsoever. Was it pretty bare for you as well, Mike? A boring game week?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I slipped down in the league a little bit. I'd sort of been planning my team for this week and then the double game week next week. Yeah. But it all fell apart when Taylor got suspended. So I had to field 10 rather than 11. And yeah, like I had Klein who scored zero. I had Herrera who got one. And went with your Vardy tip as well. Didn't pay off this week.
Oh, I was so pleased about that.
We're going to talk about that. I'll quickly go through the results of game week 33. We had Crystal Palace finally lost on their run 2-0 to West Brom. It's a bit of a shock for some people. Everton got a good 1-0 win against Burnley. Leicester, absolutely rampant. 2-0 win over Swansea, which we did predict because Swansea have got zero strikers. Stoke beat Southampton 2-1 in a bit of a shock. Chelsea beat Man United in what is one of the most boring showpieces ever, 1-0. Man City beat West Ham 2-0 and Spurs got a 3-1 win against Newcastle. So we'll start there. We'll talk about Leicester then and Jamie Vardy. Now, we did tip Vardy, and some people, you know, who can scoff at tips after they've happened retrospectively. For me, it's still a good tip. That's still in action, that tip.
Yeah, I agree. He actually played really well. I watched it and he was quite unlucky not to win a penalty at the end, which I like to think that he would have taken and scored.
And got his own assist.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's still legs in that tip. Is the week that is going to come good.
I think. Well,
and then if it doesn't, then we'll obviously just score.
Yeah, exactly. Then, okay, we can persecute me for it being bad. But Tom asked last week what happened to Ajoa Aloha. He's back. He scored. He did it. But Leicester are absolutely flying. And like we said about Palace, weirdly, but we said about relegation teams, they're worth keeping an eye out for. If they start performing and getting results because they need to stay up, then throw the odd player in. Is that something you're looking at, Mike, relegation teams?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to stay well away from these sort of mid-table teams with nothing left to play for, sort of Newcastle, sorry to say, like West Ham, you know, Swansea.
Well, Ash is the first to admit it, in fairness. He says the West Ham players, they're redundant right now in fantasy football, really, aren't they?
Yeah. But Leicester look good. Three wins on the spin. And I've been quite impressed with Cambiasso as well. I think he's picked up a goal and an assist in his last few games as well. So he might be one to watch out for.
But that's the thing. They're free scoring because they're at that stage now. It's desperation. So they might concede a few, but they're scoring goals, like a lot of goals.
Yeah, they just went all out attack from the start of the game, really. And
it was Kevin Keegan, Newcastle in the late 90s-esque.
Yeah, they're just going for it and it's working for them. So, you know. There's definitely points to be had there with Leicester. It's just sort of trying to figure out which players are going to do it. I mean, I think Ujoa wasn't even supposed to start the game. And then I can't remember who it was, but somebody got injured in the warm-up and then he got thrown in and scored. So
Huth, actually, for the weekend.
What's that, sorry?
I brought in Huth.
I was about to ask if you brought any Leicester players in then.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad shout. If they, you know, carry on their thing, I don't see them conceding all that many goals when it's all relative anyway. Like, you know, everybody else concedes a load anyway. So they've got as much chance as anybody of keeping a clean sheet, I think.
Well, and it's the other thing. You get points for clean sheets, which is great, but you don't actually lose lots of points for conceding goals. Everyone seems to forget that all the time. So unless you have a magic formula to guaranteeing who's going to get clean sheets, which none of us have, then it's not really that terrible an idea to have defenders from teams you wouldn't expect to do that well, especially if they're goal threats, which I know not recently, but traditionally players like Robert Huth have been over the years. So I think the big thing for everyone this week was fielding 11 players. It was so many people kind of took a hit on points did you have to take transfer point hits to get your 11 players outfield, both of you?
Well, I didn't manage to. I was going to, but then didn't in the end because I just swapped Huth in because that gave me 11 players that could technically play. I think like me and Mike were both saying there were so many zeros. They're probably like Alderweireld. How the fuck do you pronounce his name?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So Anton centre back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Him, Klein, I think I fucked a few people over, and then, like I say, Remy as well. Remy. It was a pretty really low scoring reek, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
I fielded 10, but really I was prepared to take a hit on points this week. But I definitely didn't want to spend any transfer points, if you know what I mean, this week, not with next week, the double game week coming up. I've saved my transfers, so I've got two transfers next week.
Exactly.
And I might sort of do three transfers and spend 4 points. But generally in the past, whenever I've spent points to bring players in, it's never paid off because you need them to get at least 6 points to even kind of break even, if you know what I mean, to be the same as if you had a player that just got two. So, you know, I don't think I would ever transfer in three players or, you know, spend 12 points unless my team was absolutely awful and they were players I was going to bring in anyway.
Yeah.
Because quite often you'll spend some points, transfer a load of players in for a particular game week. And then the next couple of weeks, they're not the players that you want for those future game weeks, and then you have to spend transfers getting them out of your team again. So it's kind of actually, there's a knock-on effect.
Yeah, I kind of banked on some people around me in the league will take hits this week. I could field 11 players without taking any transfer points, and so did it. They weren't going to be rock stars. They weren't going to score loads of points, but it was solid enough, and that was enough for this week. It's been a really dull game week, but that does mean that next week is hopefully going to be a better one.
I've seen you guys, I don't know if you're doing the same as me, where you're getting people in this week with an eye on who you were going to have next week.
We're going to talk about that later. The big talking, but the only talking point for next week's fixtures, and it's all about, if you're listening to the podcast thinking, what are they doing? That means you're going to lose the game week coming. If you do know what we're talking about, then you stand a pretty good shout. From the other results though, Spurs get a win against Newcastle. Harry Kane, people who have sort of stuck by him as captain got some rewards there. Me included, eventually with a 90th minute goal. It's such typical football press, isn't it? Harry Kane's lull was two games.
Yeah, it was nowhere near enough to actually be a lull, was it?
Ridiculous. Mm. Two games without scoring, and the game before that was a hat-trick.
Yeah, well, I asked the question last week. I tweeted in and I said, you know, he hasn't scored in three of his last four games. And I didn't necessarily say you should sell him. I was just like, I wondered what you guys thought about whether, you know, that was it for Tottenham and Kane, you know, because Tottenham don't really conceivably have much to play for.
No, there is that, yeah.
I'd be surprised if they made a run for the top four. I think the top four is pretty settled now. So, you know, with that in mind, is Kane got the sort of motivation and drive to carry on scoring goals for the rest of the season?
The thing they've got is that probably the same as Villa and Arsenal normally do, is where they're, oh well, not Villa this season, but they're probably going to score some goals and they've only got one person that can do it. So like mathematically, he's just going to score. Like with other teams, say Man United, they've got a few players that could score. So picking the right one's difficult. Same with Man City.
Well, if we were to look at what percentage of fancy football points in terms of assists and goals that Chadli, Eriksen and Kane have got between them of Spurs is this year.
Yeah.
It's astronomical. It's all gone through those three. And Chadli sat a lot of the season out, and Eriksen sat the first half of the season on the bench here and there until they realised, actually, we've got a near world-class player. We should probably use him. I don't include Loris in that, who's also a fantastic player. But I just think you're right, though. Spurs are a dangerous team to have players in because they're kind of in the middle of nowhere. But Kane just wants to keep scoring goals. It's that first season before he gets the next season, second season pressure. The other results we'd have a quick chat about, really. Man City beat West Ham 2-0, which in itself isn't too much of a shock or a talking point. Sorry, Ash. But David Silva That's a big talking point. He was pretty much dead.
Yep. I've got him in my team as well.
Yeah, there you go.
He's one of the, I think he's one of the ones I'll transfer out this week. He's, yeah, Man City just look awful, don't they?
They do.
And they're just sort of just crawling to the end of the end of the season, to the finish line. And yeah, they just look so uninspired. I mean, I know they got the win, but they didn't look good. West Ham, admittedly, pretty poor. And I wasn't impressed with City at all.
They looked like West Ham literally looked like it was the last thing. In the interviews beforehand, they all seemed quite up for it. And it's like they got onto the pitch and straight away just thought, oh, actually, I want to be anywhere but here.
Yeah, they gave up. And Silva and Aguero are the two players that a lot of people still have in their team.
Yeah.
And Silva getting that injury, I wasn't sure whether he was Fabrice Muamba'd or whether he was going to carry on playing. But I don't know if we have confirmation of how long he's out for, but presumably the floodgates will open. Everyone will get rid of him now, won't they?
I think they announced today he might be all right, actually.
Really?
Did, well, because yesterday, I think this morning, they said that he'd fractured his cheek and his something else, like, I don't know. But then, oh, jaw, sorry. But then by this afternoon, they were saying actually he might be all right.
He's going to come back, do the whole playing like the Phantom of the Opera thing, isn't he?
Yeah, Le Fabregas. Yeah,
yeah, everyone's, you know, everyone likes a bit of that. Sell a few of them. City will turn it into a franchise.
Yeah.
It'll be Man City branded face masks.
I saw that the other day, you know, in Superman. Yeah, he wears the glasses, doesn't he? And then he takes them off. I always think like Fabregas was playing in the mask. And then right at the end of the game, he whipped it off like, ha ha! Surprise, it's Fabregas all along.
You were like, you know, Superman, he takes the glasses off, doesn't he? Like, it's the most renowned superhero ever. You're like, yeah, doesn't he? You know, you've got the comics. They're all stacked up. And then we should talk about as well, the other talking points, not quite Premier League yet, but it is related to Man City. And firstly, I'll ask the question, is anything that Man City do between now and the rest of the season, can it save Pellegrini's job?
No.
They could invent some sort of serum.
Yeah.
For
a time machine.
Yeah.
If they invent a time machine.
It would have to be on that level.
Yeah.
I think.
He's done though, right? There's nothing, there's no merit in keeping him now, is there really, from a Man City point of view?
No.
No, maybe he could actually start playing. He could do a player manager kind of role, and he could score like a winning goal, overhead kick in the last.
Roy
minute
the Rovers
of the game.
Thing. I like that.
Yeah, I still think he's going to get fired. No, he's gone, isn't he?
I think so.
Unless there was like some sort of like mega contract lawyer thing where he finds out that, you know, like a Sheffield United esque thing where everybody above him gets a 49-point deduction for ineligible players, and it's his legal wranglings that sort it out.
That would be great, but I can't see it. So we kind of agreed he's done. And then I suppose the next question is, with all the rumours, is Jurgen Klopp the man to replace him?
Klopp gun.
Is Klopp gun the man? I can't believe you've stepped up to the punning plate now. Tom's not here.
Yeah, little Klopp of horrors.
Oh, I wasn't expecting it. This is
incredible. Yeah. Good stuff.
And I think there's more to come. That's just the Klopp in the ocean.
Oh, what, like America's next Klopp model?
Oh, amazing. And a great reference for you. But in all seriousness, is Klopp the guy to replace him? Will he be coming to the Premier League? Would you like him in the Premier League?
I think he's already turned... I was going to mention it as something I would obviously like, but wasn't going to happen. But I think he's already turned down the West Ham job. I think they offered it to him over the weekend.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did, apparently.
They offered...
Wow. Yeah, well, some people were saying... It's not that mental because Allardyce is already paid more than him. Like, so Allardyce gets paid more than he was at Dortmund. So it'd be a pay rise. Plus, he'd get full control over everything. They're moving into the new stadium.
The downside is that he'd have to manage West Ham.
Exactly.
There is that as well.
No one's shocked at the finance. Everyone knows this league pays stupid money. I like the fact that you've skirted over. Well, we can afford him. Well, that's fantastic. You can technically probably afford Ronaldo's wages if you scrimp a little bit, but he doesn't want to play for West Ham. That's the main point.
Yeah, we could cop it like it's hot.
Brilliant. Let's stop now. Let's just stop. You've done enough. Tom's not here to keep you in check. But he's a kind of character we want in the Premier League though, right?
Yeah, I love him because he's mental and you see these sort of like animated GIFs of him going crazy at the touchline or the referee. You know, I just want to see that in the Premier League every week. So yeah.
And realistically, it's going to have to be a big club to entice a guy of that calibre. So it's only really City, isn't it?
Well, so it's going to be Newcastle then. They're the biggest club in the
West. Yeah. What about
the biggest club in the Northeast?
It's either going to be City because they're obviously Pellegrini is going to go. But what about Liverpool?
Well, I thought one of you might ask this, actually. And the thing is, with Liverpool, I guess, is are they willing to jump ship on Rodgers yet? Because they've kind of done that whole we're standing by him. I don't know. I this is a controversial opinion. Liverpool fans might disagree. They can get in touch with us.
Well, Mike's a Liverpool fan.
Well, if only you had one on the show now.
Huh? Oh, of course, yeah. I think, well, we'll ask you then. My opinion then, as a neutral, I'm a bit of a Liverpool sympathiser, is Rodgers' transfer record's awful. When you look at who he's brought in, there's only probably four or five successes when we're talking at the Coutinho and Sturridge level, and it needs to be a better hit rate than that. There's a few maybes of the later season. You know, Emre Can may well become a good signing. I think he's a good player. Moreno, maybe. But I think there's too many that people just forget about over the last 3 years. You know, Luis Alberto, even some of the loan players, Sissoko, Sahin. I know he didn't pay money for them, but they didn't work out. And I think going to manage that kind of club, you don't get practice at signing Champions League quality players or players that are going to win the leagues. And I think there's merit in staying by Rodgers, that he's learning. I do think he's learning from mistakes. But you're the Liverpool fan, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably his biggest weakness is in the transfer market. And I think partly it's because we haven't been in the Champions League, so he hasn't been able to attract those, you know, sort of like really high quality players that, say, Chelsea have been able to buy. And so he has had to try and get this sort of second tier caliber of player and hope that they can sort of really do a good job for him. But at the same time, I think I heard something that it would take, they'd have to pay him off 10 million if they were to fire him. And then they'd have to obviously pay Klopp quite a lot to come in as well. I like Klopp. I'd like to see him at Liverpool, but I'm happy with Rodgers. And I think he was, you know, last season was so good and we came so close to winning the league. Obviously, this season was always going to be really different. So I'd like to think that he should at least get another season. It has been really disappointing this year, but see how it goes next season. I still got a bit of time for Rodgers. I like Rodgers, and we play good football under him. So
have they got a director of football? They haven't got Camoli's not there, is he?
No, he's long gone.
Yeah,
long gone.
But I wonder why, because when did they have anybody between Rodgers and Benitez?
Well, Dalglish held that role outside of his ill-fated management spell, did he not?
There was Hodgson as well, obviously.
He
was there for 6 months. That was awful.
But, Dalglish was up doing a kind of direct...
Oh, of course he was. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
As well. Obviously, in Europe, that's more common where the director of football will have a say in transfers. But you look at Arsene Wenger, who's, you know, an Arsenal legend as a manager, although some of them, you know, they're happy with him now, by the way, because he's coming second and winning the FA Cup. but outside of that, if you look at his early signings, there were some phenomenal ones in Overmars, Petit, etc. But they're also, people don't forget about Francis Jeffers, Pascal Segan, Oleg Luzhny. These are all pretty awful players who played for Arsenal. I just think it's the one skill you don't get a practice at. Managing Swansea isn't a practice for who you can sign. He did a phenomenal job. And I just think he's worth a bit more time.
But I wonder whether they've got somebody picking people, because they've got, if you think about it, over the last sort of 10, 15 years, they've got a terrible track record of buying people.
Awful.
Think of the people they sold under Benitez, like Alonso, loads and loads of players. And then they'd go and buy
Mascherano.
They'd buy people for like 20 million.
At the same time, you criticise them for getting rid of them, but that's also commending them for being able to bring them in.
But who did they replace them with?
Well, yeah, there is a difficulty. But on the other hand, you'll say when Torres went, they said, well, he's irreplaceable. They can't replace that. You can't replace that for that value for money. And then they signed Luis Suarez, who is probably pound for pound, one of the top two or three players who ever played for Liverpool when it comes to ability.
Yeah.
So I think, but that's far too much serious football chat. We've done well there. But I should, before we go to a break, we should quickly tell you what's going on in the Gaffer Tapes League. And obviously, we're going to discuss game week 34 in part two and three as well. Our league, the top few places, obviously Brian Coates still at the top. Tom's going to have an update for who is Brian Coates later. And just a quick one. Second place is Jordy Wilson, Coates' cousin Colin.
Outrageous.
I don't know what's happening because... Obviously, it's something to do with Brian Coates. I don't know how it's happened. We've got an open league, so you can join it. Is this guy, do people go around just surfing leagues for where they can join in the top? Is that happen, Ash? Is that a thing?
It must be. Surely it's got to be like a listener who's joined and has either named his team that for a joke or genuinely is Brian Coates' cousin.
But then you can't have just started a team since because he's got a phenomenal amount of points.
No, but I mean, you can just switch over leagues. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but can you change your team name during a season?
I think you can. Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Right, so that's what it is. Yeah. So clearly one of Coates' friends has done this. The Twitter sphere is up in arms. Stim Dog nearly boycotted the podcast. Alan Whitby Lear, the listener, he's furious. Mike himself isn't happy as a listener slash podcaster. It's something we're going to have to look into. And I think once Tom's back, we'll have to take a vote on what we do with this Geordie Wilson character. And as to where we are in the league, we've got Ash in 40th place, still on top page, sort of clinging on. I'm in 57th with 1,708 points. And 8 points behind me in 61st is Tom, the Gaffer Tapes Tom. It seems like everyone went down. And I know, as a reasonably logical man, that's not possible, that not everyone can drop places in the league. But there's just red arrows everywhere.
They could, because if people have joined the league, pushed us all down.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yes. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
So Geordie Wilson made me go down in the league and gave me a red arrow.
Yeah.
Well, there was another guy as well. There's another guy who came in at 14.
Who is this? Who are these imposters?
So there's two people who have snuck into the top 15, and that's actually pushed me down as well. Yeah. I've been trying desperately to get into the top 10, and now there's sort of two people who have jumped in.
So there's a group of shitheads who just go looking for leagues that they can be the top 10
of. No, but they could just be fans. We're victims of our own success. Presumably fans of the podcast, not people who have just gone and alphabetically joined every league.
This is so bittersweet. I don't know. I'm happy they're joining, but I'm angry. So welcome, you wankers.
Whatever. Do you need to have some kind of transfer window type? Maybe like after the January transfer window, you close the league or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how you think podcasts and listener numbers work, Mike. We kind of want people on board. We can't stop turning people away and saying, well, an exclusive podcast.
But then I would say you need to welcome Geordie Wilson.
So I wonder if you know Brian Coates, we discovered last week, is in another league.
We don't know Brian Coates, sadly, but yeah.
We found out he's in another league, which he's second of.
Yes.
Do we think the guy who's top of that's going to join our league? Or do you think Brian's going to keep it well shtum that he's top of ours and has got minor notoriety?
It's becoming all quite Da Vinci Code, and I, for one, am scared. But Tom will solve this. I know he will. I've got confidence in him. He wrote a crime novel, so he's the best qualified for all this. But we will go through some of your tweets in part two. And obviously, we're going to preview game week 34. And Ash has probably conceived some sort of quiz for me and Mike to do that he won't have written yet. But we will inevitably do it. But all that's coming up in part two of the Gaffer Tape. And welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Ash and Mike, filling in for Tom, who is away for 1 week and 1 week only, we hope, unless he never comes back, but I'm pretty sure he will be. We just discussed game week 33. We talked Liverpool really in depth. Mike's allowed Brendan Rodgers to keep his job, so you're welcome, Brendan. Jurgen Klopp, we talked Leicester, the Vardy tip, we talked everything. It was all pretty serious stuff. We forgot to dish out Manager of the Week, Ash.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Who is it? Who's got it?
It's another new boy into the league, although nice. He's got a genuine new team. Second week. Oh, it looks like about maybe his third week, something like that. He's already won Manager of the Month. Of the week, yeah. Team name, that mental lot, in 170th position.
Yeah.
Nathan Stracey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many points did he get?
He got 76.
Wow, that's quite big in this week.
Yeah, yeah. Like the average was about 40 something, like 42.
And he's new to the league.
Well, he's 170th, and he's got 258 points in total, yeah.
Well, Nathan Stracey, that was his name, right?
Yeah.
Nathan Stracey.
Yeah.
Stracey Island. Dick Stracey. Good work. You were 33.3% of your way to a Toblerone, my good man.
Star of Stracey Dooley Investigates.
Stracey, that is a very obscure reference. Anyone into their BBC 3 18 to 25 demographic journalism, then they will love that reference. Yeah. That is good.
Or fans of the Stracemen Jacks.
Stracemen Jacks. We'll stop now.
Yeah,
stop.
Okay. His we'll team stop. Was, so Adrian in goal.
Okay, then, that's who I had.
Yeah, Terry Ivanovic, Baines, Jagielka.
Yeah, pretty solid back four there.
Yeah, classic Silver, Chadley, Hazard, Eriksen, Vardy, Keane. Seems like pretty, like reading out, seems like a pretty standard, yeah, like, obvious team, King, doesn't it?
King's where the points that no one else had is.
Yeah.
Did he have two Everton defenders in one team?
Two Everton defenders, two Chelsea. Yeah.
That's four clean sheets right there.
Yeah.
Clean sheets win games. That's it. The cliche is so true. And about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I kind of switched to a tactic that I've since cancelled because Southampton started to leak goals. But because a lot of people try and separate their defenders and have a mix here and there, yeah. I ended up for quite a few weeks, had two Chelsea defenders and two Southampton defenders, and we'd rotate which one I would favour for two in a back three, depending on who I thought might get the clean sheet. And the amount of times that either Bertrand and Klein got me 12 points or Ivanovic and Terry got me 12 points and set you on your way to a decent week, it's I think doubling up in defence or having two double up options is pretty solid, to be honest. I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But, that's my tactic. I should have shared that, really, doing a fancy football podcast and all that. but Nathan Stracey, third of your way to Toblerone, probably not likely this season, but next season it's going to be Triangle Chocolate City, my friend. So stay in touch. And also you can tweet us, Nathan, at the Gaffer Tapes. We're going to go through a few of the tweets we've had during the week in a little section that we call Tweets for My Tweet. And that's where Tom would sing it. Tweets for my tweet. We did it in harmony.
Wow, amazing.
Amazing.
That was some good stuff right there. Tom will be upset he missed that for the three part. Yes, we've had quite a few tweets during the week. We had Chuck Bailey, who tweeted us a question right off the bat for us. And it's probably best Tom's not here because he wouldn't be able to answer it if, you know, he'll just say Tottenham if we ask him. Because Chuck has asked us, who do you reckon's getting relegated? He's gone for Hull, Sunderland and Leicester, and it's at 22-1 at the minute. Who do you think is getting relegated then?
I think Hull, QPR and Burnley. I think Leicester they're dragging themselves out of it. I watched them last week. I thought they played really well. So, yeah, I think Hull, QPR and Burnley. QPR are awful. Burnley.
You think Hull are gone?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What would those three, Ash, you agree?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Hull look dead, don't they?
QPR and Burnley. Wow. Yeah. And you don't think any of the teams that are kind of lingering are going to get, and it's the old cliche, isn't it, sucked in the Sunderland area of...
Well, when West Ham got relegated, I think we were on 36, maybe even it was like the highest points ever someone had got relegated. It was like between 36 and 41. So, I mean, that's all the way up to like Newcastle, West Brom, Everton. It's conceivable that Newcastle could lose it every game of the season and get relegated. But, I mean, I'm sure they'd pick up form if they
Having
were really
Having seen
that.
Newcastle play, though, in the last couple of weeks, it's conceivable they could lose every game of the season.
Yeah, they've still got players, though. I think they would, in the last couple of games, would do what West Ham did. And, oh, well, the players would pick up. But then again, they might all think, well, if we get relegated, we all get transferred away anyway. So maybe not.
Yeah. The players you had when you picked it up were still Carlos Tevez and Javier Mascherano, though. So that's the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they don't have those players.
I think Newcastle probably just, if they could just get one win, they're probably safe.
I think they are safe. I don't for a second think they'll go down, but they do look awful.
I think Sunderland are very much involved and they could go down. But
well, that's the one I thought one of you might mention, but...
I just think Hull, QPR and Burnley are just a little bit worse than them.
Yeah, and I suppose the exciting thing from a neutral point of view and a Premier League point of view and a fantasy Premier League point of view is there's some players in there who are going to get transferred. If those teams go down, there's some good signings for some clubs in there.
Yeah, so Burnley, Danny Ings.
Danny Ings, obviously at QPR. You've got Austin, Matt Phillips, both Stephen Caulker, all young players.
Quite like Leroy Fair as well at QPR.
Yeah, he's just back from injury. Yeah, he's another good player. But Ash has been talking about Matt Phillips for weeks and he keeps consistently getting assists. He's a really old-fashioned kind of winger, can deliver the ball really well. He probably gets snapped up. And for me, I get to a point, I don't know if you're like this, if your teams, as yours both are no way near relegation, I just want the teams with the best players to go down because I like the scramble.
My favourite Ash, Matt Phillips, mention was the first week when he recommended him and then... I think he scored like a 40-yard screamer and actually put him in his team.
Yeah, didn't follow his own recommendation.
I do it every week.
I like having Mike on. He's a proper student of the show. He remembers all these tits from ages ago. So we had that as your answer, Chuck. We've conclusively gone for Hull, Sunderland and QPR because Leicester... To be fair to Chuck, I think he tweeted that before Leicester then got another victory. Steve Clift, he's a football writer as well. He said a rank of 53rd is looking quite good at the moment. Worried that his 9-game week 33 men will be overtaken easily by Craig and Tom. There's no shame in being overtaken by Craig and Tom, Steve. Behave yourself. And you would be 52nd if it wasn't for Geordie Bloody Wilson, as we've established. So apologies. this looks like you, Ash, and in fact, Mike, as a fan of the show. We've had a tweet from that Sabs.
Shabzi Nesbitt's back. My God.
Shabzi Nesbitt. That's my favourite of the episode. You got it. You cracked it.
Thank you.
But yeah, Sabs is back. He was having a bit of fun. He obviously, we tweeted to say Tom started trying to get everyone to get their kits out. Hashtag get your kits out and show us your football kit design. And Sabs said, shit, mate. I don't know how he speaks. Shit, mate, don't have a design yet. Think I'm too lazy. Too much effort, ain't it? He's so casual, is
he? There, he has used 15 exclamation marks.
He did use a lot of exclamation marks, yeah. Do you have a kit design on yours, Mike, on your team?
Absolutely not. No, until Tom mentioned it a few weeks ago, I hadn't even thought about it. I've just got a plain white kit. I'm all business.
Well, Sabs has got a plain white one, and it's all white. And given he's from South Africa, that's quite controversial. so, Sabs, get that kit changed. We also had a tweet from a new tweeter, actually, Dimitri Vidreek, DVD Reek, I don't know who that is. But we were basically asking what kind of fantasy football player you were in terms of tell your mates and give them reminders. He said, I'm the type that lasts and lasts and lasts when they realise that they've completely forgotten. He then tweeted us a text message from his mate saying, oh my God, I forgot my team, laughing. So I quite like that. And I'm that guy as well. You're quite ruthless as well, aren't you, Ash? You won't tell any of your friends.
No, well, I'm not. In fairness, if I did, it'd be about 5 minutes past, as I always do mine, up till the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you don't have an alarm set on your phone or a little reminder that pops up and tells you to do your team 5 minutes before the end of the deadline, then you don't deserve to remember.
You're not taking this shit seriously.
I have to set my alarm for like 8 o'clock on a Saturday. It pisses me off every week, so it gives me a good like 2 hour run in to think about it.
You set your alarm at 8 o'clock to do your fantasy football team?
Yeah, something like that.
That is dedication. On a Saturday, yeah.
What? That's 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Minimum.
It takes time though, doesn't it? You've got to give it some thought.
You set that alarm so you can watch Lord of the Rings first and then.
The season I did best on this, I literally was pretty much working as a professional fantasy football.
Yeah, but when you were as those of you just listening for the first time, then it's very late to the party, but welcome, Geordie Wilson. Ash was a ranked top 100 fantasy football player in his heyday, before his cartilage, before the cruciates went. It must have taken over your life though, because you must get to the point where every transfer you make or every change, you're like, oh my God, oh, this could be the week I drop out.
Yeah, exactly what happened. It wasn't till right at the end, the whole way through, it was like, oh, it was all cool, fun, because you're never realistically going to finish anywhere. Like in the top 100,000 is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you keep going, and it literally every week it went up and up and up. And then I was like, I said I was in that league at work, and it was like, oh, cool, would it be funny if I got into the top 10? Oh, now I'm in the top 3. Now I'm the lead winning it. Oh, they're all going to catch me. Oh, now I'm 100 points ahead. Now I'm 200. Where am I in the world? I'm in the top 100. And I got all the way to fourth. And then I suddenly thought, Jesus Christ, I could win it. And then immediately ended up finishing like 80th or whatever. But
it sounds like correct.
That year when you were really good, like really, really good at fantasy football, that was when we were sharing a flat. And I remember, like, we were doing our teams. The first few weeks, I was laughing at how bad your team was. So you did really well. But the first 4 or 5 weeks, like, you were awful and you didn't have a clue what you're doing. So actually, that just makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, for about the first month. Because I started the season trying to prove that you could win the league with a team that was constructed for under 50 million.
Were you basically like playing Moneyball? It's the film Moneyball, the Brad Pitt film, but with fantasy football.
Yeah.
The way you described it was like the weirdest Dear Deirdre letter I've ever heard in my life. Like, things are hard. I just want to come in the top 100.
Yeah.
But there you go. 8 o'clock in the morning. If you can beat that, let us know, because that's unbelievable dedication. Other tweets we had. We had a bit of a Liverpool discussion with the Odds Bible, the Twitter account, if you know them, Mike.
Is it okay if I say that I don't?
It's fine. No, they've got about 200,000 followers, and they were talking. They listed all of Rodgers' transfers and basically said there have been 5 successes, 7 maybes, and something like 18 flops they were talking about. And I was kind of pushing them on who they thought the flops were in terms of they'd obviously already made their mind up on players like Chan, who was in the maybe pile, for instance. Turns out Lovren says, I don't rate Lovren at all. I'd give the other two, being Markovic and Chan, more time, but have a feeling they might sell Balotelli while they can. Is that fair? Do you think that's the case with Liverpool? You might try and quietly offload Balotelli without much fanfare?
Yeah, I think so. because a few more seasons of him at Liverpool not really scoring, and it's going to be a lot harder to shift him. So yeah, and I agree on Lovren as well. I've been really disappointed with him. He's just made so many mistakes, and he'll get more time at Liverpool, but yeah, I don't rate him.
I don't know if this is a true fact or something I've just imagined, but I'm sure Balotelli's only ever made one assist in the whole time he's been at the Premiership, Liverpool and Man City, and that was to set up the Aguero goal that won them the league. I'm sure someone on Twitter will point out that's completely not true at all, but I'm sure that's the only assist he's ever got. And being Balotelli, it seems very possible.
Do you know what? When I see him play in the minutes I see him, granted, he does try the odd outrageous shot. I don't think he's that selfish or lazy a player. I don't. It hasn't worked. It hasn't clicked, but he hasn't played many minutes, to be fair. But
he doesn't really run around a lot. He just kind of stands there waiting for the ball to come to him, which isn't really the worst. It's just not the way to play as a striker. I mean, you see the difference between him and Sturridge. Sturridge is always looking to create space, or actually something that all good strikers do. They create space and they find space that isn't even there, and that's how they get goals. Whereas he just kind of seems to just wander around the penalty area, hoping the ball's going to drop to him and that he can score. So
Mike's a fan then, it seems. This Mike is a fan of Balotelli. But to be fair, you would argue Rodgers knew this. These were facts. These were well known before he decided to sign him. But I think at 16 million, it was probably it was worth the gamble. I still think it was worth the risk. It just hasn't paid off.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a panic buy, wasn't he? We needed a striker and it just hasn't worked.
It hasn't. And we'll leave it at bloody that. We also had a tweet from McStaney, which is a very good question. Which are the double game week players for week 34, which we're going to discuss at length in a bit, do you think is must have, except Hazard, who he thinks a lot of people have? Are there any players who are part of the double game week that you think you have to have in your team if you're going to have a successful week?
What do you reckon, Ash?
Well, I would have said Hazard as well.
Apart from Hazard, yeah. Who would you pick as a must have in your team for this double game week?
Well, okay, well, I think Fabregas as well. They're the two guys who score the most points for Chelsea. He's probably not like a must-have, but Aspilicueta as well is quite a good one to look at. So at 6.1 million, he is the cheapest of Chelsea's back four, and you could conceivably see them keeping two clean sheets. He's actually scored 16 points in the last 2 weeks and 4 bonus points as well. So
wow, right.
Could be quite good value for money, and obviously he sort of gets down the wing, so there's a good chance that he can maybe grab an assist there. I wouldn't bother with Remy. Ash, you've got Remy, haven't you?
Yeah, it depends, because the thing is, if he's fit, he's gonna play, so it's worth having him and then swapping him, and I think he'd probably score in both games as well. But I don't, he could easily be like used for 1 minute and then Drogba like replaces him.
Yeah, that's really a really over. It's a big if, isn't it?
Because it is a big if. I wouldn't call him a must-have. No. For my opinion, for what it's worth, this might be derided as non-committal or wrong. Is in the double game week, obviously Chelsea have a game against Arsenal in that double game week, which is a tricky game given Arsenal are the form team in the league. Now, I think if you can find the right Liverpool player, then they will be the most valuable in that double game week. Now, it's impossible to tell who that player is going to be, but they've got two away games, but it's a game against Hull and a game against West Brom. And West Brom are no mugs and have been problematic for Liverpool over the years. But if you can find a Liverpool player in that is going to play 90 minutes in each game and perform, there's every chance a Philip Coutinho, a Jordan Henderson or Raheem Sterling is going to be the biggest point scorer of the week, I think.
It's got to say, Henderson's got to be a value, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think Mignolet actually, or a Liverpool defender like Skrtel. So Liverpool's away defensive record is really good. I think they kept six clean sheets in a row on the road. So yeah, Mignolet has got 13 clean sheets all season. So he's got to be a good bet. Or perhaps Skrtel, who's back in the team as well now.
The other thing to think about as well, obviously, if you're bringing in players for the double game week, can you bring in an Ivanovic or a Terry? A lot of people already have them. If you don't, someone else does. Whereas there's Liverpool players in there which aren't so popular right now. You can gain some real points on some people around you for a double game week if they haven't thought about it, right, personally.
Yeah. As a real outside bet, Jordan Ibe has just come back into the Liverpool team.
Yeah.
And he's only 4.3 million. So, if you haven't got much money to spend, he could be quite a good option. Could pick up an assist or a goal, perhaps.
Yeah, there's every chance he'll play in that front three. Hope so. That would be good, and he's an exciting player as well. And then the final tweet we had was from a new tweeter again. It's going to take some real analysis, this one, to be fair. So I'm glad we've got you on, Mike, and because me and Tom aren't particularly good at these sort of things. We had a tweet from Neil, who said, using game week 34 wildcard and bought Sanchez at 10.4, keep four, hashtag double game week 37, sell and cash in value now for final five games, question mark alternatives. I don't understand what it means. That was like binary to me. What's he asking? And then can you answer it following that, Ash and Mike?
Go on, Ash.
Well, I was going to say you cut out on Skype, so you might want to reread it for the listeners like you.
Oh, really? Well, have you got it there? You read it.
Using game week 34 wildcard and brought Sanchez at 10.4. Keep for week 38 / sell and cash in value now for five final games alternatives.
So it didn't make any more sense when I heard you say it as when I read it.
He brought Sanchez for 10.4 million. Should he sell him or keep him for the last four games? I'll check out what Sanchez's value is. And this Mike already knows it off the top of his head.
Yeah, I think if you sold him now, you'd get roughly $1 million profit. So, yeah, I'm not sure who you could buy that would be much better, because that would, you guys have talked a lot this season about how a lot of the most expensive players haven't really performed. And it's been the bargains like Kane, Berahino, etc., who have actually been the highest scorers, Charlie Austin as well. So I think keep him. Because I'm not sure who you would spend that extra money on to get. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, if you're thinking of selling him to get more Liverpool and Chelsea players in for this double game week, again, they're players that you're actually going to probably want to transfer out later on. And you're going to want to buy Sanchez back again for Arsenal's double game week. So while you might have an extra million to play with now, obviously you're going to have to spend that again in a few weeks' time. And it's not actually really like Liverpool are really high scoring at the moment either. It's not like last season where they were perhaps putting 3, 4, 5 goals past teams. You know, I think their highest goal scorer this season is like Henderson with 6 or something. So yeah. I would personally keep Sanchez. And actually, if you look at Arsenal's next few games, they've got Chelsea, Hull and Swansea. And in the reverse fixtures against Hull and Swansea, Sanchez scored 13 and 9 points against those teams earlier this season. So for that reason alone, I think you've got to keep him in.
That's as good an answer as you'll get. It's like if you were at school, you used the question in the answer, then you analysed it. There was a conclusion. That was a science write-up, that shit. That was good.
And I think the other thing is actually, if you bought him for 10.4 at the start of the season, if you probably look at the amount of sort of points per pound that you've got, you've probably got really, really good value on him. So I don't know why you would then sell him and give that up.
And selling human beings. That's what we're talking about here, people. Just think of feelings.
Yeah, he's going to be really, really upset.
He's going to be upset.
You've stuck with it so long, and to abandon him now is just going to break his little heart.
It will break his little heart. And if that's pretty much all the tweets, pick of the tweets you've had for this week. But if you've got any questions or queries for the next game week, then do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes, or you can email us info@thegaffertapes.com with anything you've got. Keep the tweets coming. We had loads and loads this week because of game week 33, and think how rubbish that was in terms of points. So game week 34, we should have even more from you. So do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes or info@thegaffertapes.com. In part three, we're going to be running through the game week 34 fixtures. Ash, Mike and I might even give you a bit of an insight into who we've brought in for it, but not too much because Ash has got his early morning wake up on Saturday to do that, so we won't know for sure. And we might have a little game between myself and Mike conceived by Ash doing his best Bruce Forsyth impression, in that none of it will be prepared and it will probably go horribly wrong. But that's all we've got time for part two of the Gaffer Tapes. We'll see you in just a second for part three. And welcome back to part three of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Ash, Craig and Mike filling in for Tom, who's not with us Not in a dead way. That sounded a bit morbid, didn't it? He'll be back next week. So yeah, we've talked about game week 33. We've been through your tweets. We even did the tweets from my tweet song without Tom, which felt sacrilegious. And game week 33 was what we were suffering through for the mammoth game week 34 that's coming up. I'm going to, quick as I can, read these many fixtures, let you know the game week fixtures for game week 34. So we've got Southampton at home to Spurs, Burnley at home to Leicester in what is an absolute 6-pointer there. Crystal Palace at home to Hull, Newcastle at home to Swansea, QPR play West Ham, where Ash will be hoping they can actually get a result and entertain him. Stoke versus Sunderland, West Brom versus Liverpool, Man City at home to Villa, Everton at home to Man U, Arsenal at home to Chelsea in the form team against the champions elect. And then the double game week takes action as Hull play Liverpool and Leicester play Chelsea. So there it is. Obviously, it's what everyone who proper fantasy football players knew about this game, what, 2-3 weeks ago, Mike and Ash?
Yeah, this one queued up. Because there was a mini double game week, wasn't there, where one team played a couple of weeks ago, probably for the first round of their cup. But now it's a double game week, if that makes sense.
How long ago did you have your eyes on this, Mike?
I think about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I've been sort of like planning for this. It's finally here, so it's exciting. It's a chance to really jump up the league, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you can get your captain pick right and get some bonus points in there, with a Liverpool or a Chelsea player, then it's a chance to really, really jump up the league.
So last week, the question was, how many players are you playing? And it ranged anywhere from, you know, 8 or 9 to the full 11, obviously, and subs if you're lucky. This week, the question is, obviously, without knowing your team exactly yet or going into details too much, how many double game week players do you think you'll have in your starting 11?
It's got to be at least 6. I think everybody will have at least 6. Everyone's going to get 3 Chelsea and probably 2 Liverpool and Vardy, something like that.
Yeah.
See that being everybody's lineup.
Yeah, I'm planning on having 7. Three Chelsea, 3 Liverpool and Vardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sat on 6. I've got 6 I haven't used any transfer deduction points. I didn't manage to get myself 2 transfers this week because I kind of had to use one last week or face fielding one less. I'll have 6 and I'm tempted to take a 4-point hit on a double game week. It kind of feels like they only need to play twice, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not pick up a booking. And you're there, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
This is it. This is the end of the season.
Exactly.
This is the cup final, isn't it, really, for fantasy football? You got to go for it because, there's a few game weeks after this and then it's all over. So go out of a bang.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you've only got, say, 4, you're doing something wrong, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, most people, I think, to be honest, most people are going to have, like, 4 anyway just because. Like, because everyone's got to have Wallers, so there's 1. Everyone's got 3 Chelsea players, so that's 4.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But it's the one time we talked about transfer point hits. If your player is a guaranteed starter and won't get booked, then he'll make up your transfer points, won't he?
This will be a classic week where somebody who started first week, like your mum, and has never played since, but at the start of the season, her team was like 3 Chelsea players, Sterling, Balotelli.
Yeah.
And then it's going to come full cycle and they're going to get a fucking billion points.
Lambert's going to score 4 goals.
Yeah, exactly.
And suddenly be a contender in the Gaffer Tapes League.
The perfect storm.
Joy, if anyone has Balotelli in their team and they end up getting a billion points, please do tweet in next week.
Yeah, no, do tweet us. There'll be proper shenanigans. If we get a new league member who pops in at the top, then I'm going right to the top, right to the goddamn CIA. Something's gone on around here.
One game played, top of the league.
Yeah, I think, well, I, you pretty much described my team as is right now. 3 Chelsea, 2 Liverpool and Jamie Vardy, which is what mine is. The only thing I'm thinking now is who to bring in as the 7th. Who knows, maybe 8th to sort my team out that little bit more. Cause,
have you got Henderson and Sterling then?
I've got Coutinho
and
Sterling.
Have you not got Mikulay, as Tom likes to call him?
I don't know. And to be honest, that's possibly where my 3rd one would come in is as Mike said earlier, I was eyeing up someone in the Liverpool defence to see they'll be hoping to keep at least 1 clean sheet out of 2 away from home in those 2 games, you'd have thought, given their form. And then the other one is, aside from Vardy, who would you risk from Leicester to get you some points, really? And it is a risk, but again, you know, with Leicester, the difference between Leicester and Liverpool is you'll know who's playing 90 minutes for Leicester before the game, pretty much. You know who's starting, certainly.
Yeah. My tip is Cambiasso. He looks good, and he's the one kind of creative, real creative player in Leicester's team. Sort of controls everything in their midfield. So
He's going to play every minute that he's fit in that relegation battle because he's a former he's a world class player or was. So he's going to be there for every minute. Yeah.
Yeah, you could conceivably have Vardy, Cambiaso, and Wallers in your team.
You could
and go three Leicester players.
You know what's going to be amazing is Tom, unless he listens to the podcast, which he may or may not do.
Yeah,
isn't going to realise there's a double game week.
No,
he's going to put Wallers on the bench, and then somebody else is going to have Wallers and Cambiaso and Vardy and score 2 billion points.
One thing, we haven't talked about any Hull players in this either, because obviously it's a double game week for Hull as well.
I looked at the Hull players, obviously, as I was doing my team and thought, if I was to pick one Hull player, who would there be? Now, I have how? Have you had a Hull player in your side this season? I've had one. I've had Nikita Jelovic for a little bit my kind of third striker, because he's capable of getting the odd goal. I looked at Hull's players and they are all spectacularly low scoring. It's ridiculous.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Is that you just seeing them now, Ash?
Yeah. I tell you, the only player I had in their team who I had for the first couple of weeks, and he wasn't playing for them at the time, was Dawson. When he was still at Tottenham, it was quite a good shout, but then they didn't play him for the first few games and he went to Hull. And I thought that's not too bad a shout. He's actually played pretty well for them, but still scored less than fuck all points.
McGregor was a reasonably popular pick over the last couple of seasons in goal. Used to pick up quite a few bonus points. But I don't think you don't want a whole player in your side, do you, right now?
No, and if you just look at their form, if you sort of look at the form of the players, there's nobody really that's got more than two.
Yeah.
The only one is McShane, who I honestly can't vouch for in any way. So
Their best player by a mile is form-wise is El Mohammadi.
Yeah, I have had him in the past, actually. But again, he's so typically inconsistent.
Yeah, he scored against Chelsea. He must have done a couple of weeks ago. Apart from that.
No consistency. I think that we put that question to bed pretty easily. No, there won't be any Hull players in there. But if you're really bold, three Leicester, three Liverpool, three Chelsea. Will some people do that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely. But it depends, because there's going to be a couple of cheeky people who've still got their wild card left.
Yeah.
And then it's the dream, isn't it? Although then you're stuck with these players for the rest of the season. But there's only a couple of games left.
Yeah, you've got these players for, you know, the next 5 weeks as well. So if you're going to have to sort of transfer them all out and spend points to do that.
Yeah. Is that why seven's the kind of magic number? Because three Liverpool, three Chelsea, one Leicester. It's not that disastrous having those Chelsea and Liverpool players in, really.
You're probably not going to know, Craig, off the top of your head, unless you happen to have looked at it recently. You know, we were talking about people getting relegated. What are the odds, do you think, of Hull going down? Because they're not actually in the bottom four at the minute, are they?
No. Well, the odds on the tweet we had, which was, what was it, Burnley, QPR, and Leicester, was it?
I think
we have to double check what he wrote to us now. Was 22-1 we had. So I guess if they weren't in the thing, is that was done before Leicester started to find a bit of form.
Yeah.
I'll just get the tweet up now from Chuck Bailey.
Whilst you're looking their upcoming fixtures for Hull. Palace, who are obviously on a good run of form.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Arsenal, Burnley, Tottenham, then Man United.
Right, that's Hull's running, is it?
Fucking hell, yeah. No, I've not seen that before. Yeah.
Well, in which the tweet we got from Chuck Bailey was Hull, Sunderland and Leicester were 22-1 to go down. So given that run in, that makes sense as to why so many people are putting Hull in that. So as a single, it's not worth your bet. You'd need to do a treble like Chuck's done there.
Yeah.
I guess Leicester would actually get you better odds now than some of the others simply because of the fact that they're actually doing pretty well. But yeah, that is a hell of a run in, isn't it? So that's another reason you don't want any Hull players in your side.
Yeah.
Right, so that's game week 34. We do want to know what teams, obviously, you're going to put out, how many double game week players you're going to have. If there's any advance on seven, let us know. If you've gone for the big nine or you're taking Hull players, 11. If you're going to go for 11 double game week players, we need to see that team. We need to see that car crash of a team. So tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes, either before the deadline, as Tom says, if you've got balls, #balls. Tom always commends people who do that. Or in fact, after the deadline, which we totally understand, then tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes, your team. How many double game week players are you going to squeeze into your team this week? Now, normally at this point, obviously, we'll have Tom versus Ash. It's been an absolute whitewash. Ash has destroyed Tom over the season, which means Tom is more than likely Hull are more likely of staying up than Tom is of not being seen in a top shirt over the summer. And whenever we've had a guest on the show or a guest presenter, as Mike is at the moment, I've taken them in some football-related challenge, in Ash's Twitter badge challenge, where the loser has to change their Twitter badge to something of the choosing of either Ash or the opponent. For me, it would probably be a Hibs crest, which would be quite disgusting. Mike lost earlier in the season, had to have something Everton-related. I'm undefeated, it's worth saying. Yeah. Any guest that's come on, I've beaten them.
And you've done extremely well. Like, credit where it's due. You've smashed everybody. The best one still, by mile, is where James was answering questions about Derby, the team that he supports. You were answering his questions and questions about North Korean football. I thought that takes some beating.
It's lucky Andy Gibbons, who's been on the show, the Swansea fan, actor Andy Gibbons, he is very, very knowledgeable with football. Glad we didn't invite him to do the challenge because I'd have probably lost that. But what do you have in store for us, Ash? What do we need? What do we need to do?
Okay, so same again, the loser, but this time I'm picking the Twitter badge because right. You know it's going to be something bad.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to play... who was the guy who's jumped into our league? Neil something?
Geordie Wilson?
Yeah. So the game is, I thought it was Neil something, so it's not going to work too well. Who's Neil Eccles? The guy who tweeted us.
He may be another one.
Yeah,
we've had two imposters.
Yeah, I think he's the other one. Or if not, hello Neil. We're going to play Neil or Real.
Right.
Neil. Shocking.
Real.
Yeah.
You see what happens when I don't do the quizzes, Mike?
Just it's an absolute shambles already.
They get better.
Ash has been composed for the full hour the podcast's been on. As soon as you put him in a quiz situation, he can't even get words out. Okay, let's play Neil or Real, which is up there amongst the worst games in broadcasting ever. But let's go for it.
Well, the original title was Real or No Real.
Which is a Scott Mills game, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, that's one of his.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Real or No Real.
Ah, okay. Well, let's hope it's not the same game. So, in light of the Champions League being on,
yep,
and us having a usurper in the league, I thought we'd have a competition to see if you can pick which ones of these are real Champions League teams and which ones are UEFA Cup scum.
Okay, okay. Right.
Well, steady.
Yeah. So, what we'll do is... we'll do a couple of rounds and we'll see who's the winner. So we'll do like three best of threes. Does that make
you're
sense?
You're not going to want that. You saying that with a question mark at the end. You're supposed to know.
I know. I was asking whether you understand the rules.
No, of course we don't understand. You've not explained much at all. But we'll just work it out. I've got used to just, you know.
Okay.
Going along with
I haven't played Neil or Real before.
Yeah, how. Are you okay with the rule? It's not articulate. You don't pick it up every Christmas. You've made it up. It doesn't even rhyme.
I thought that was the whole point of these games.
Right, so you're going to give us football teams and we have to say whether they're Champions League or Europa League.
Yeah, or whether they're Neil or Real.
What do you want to do with this?
Yeah, whether they're Real or not.
I thought this game was going to be famous Neils that had played for Real Madrid.
Brilliant.
I couldn't think of any.
I would have liked famous Niels. That would have been a good game. So hang on. It's whether they're a Champions League team or a Europa League team.
Yeah.
This season.
Simple as that, yeah.
So it's nothing to do with Real or Neil.
Did you say something about them being made up as well?
Yeah.
Possibly.
So some of them might be made up.
Yeah. Or mispronounced.
Oh, right. Can we have a practice round?
Yeah.
Okay, give us one as a practice round because I don't know what's happening.
Okay, so you just have to write down whether you think they're Champions League or UEFA Cup.
Okay.
I was just bringing some spice to it with the name.
Okay.
Okay, it's a difficult one to start with. Real Madrid.
Right, okay.
Okay, Mike?
What? So I have to tell you whether Real Madrid are in the Champions League or the UEFA Cup or whatever it is that it's called now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Champions League.
Okay, Craig?
Oh, the same one?
Yeah, yeah.
Wrote down Champions League. There's a CL there. I think you can take my word for
it. Do
I
have
one.
To do that as well? Okay.
So yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, right. Okay, so you ready?
Yes.
So write them down. We'll do a few at a time, and then
okay.
We'll go. Okay. So,
yeah.
Right. So some easy ones to start with: Dortmund, Borussia. Okay. Monaco, Liverpool.
My pen's running out, but yeah.
Yeah, and Basel.
Oh my word! Yeah, you might have to come to me first on some of these because I'm pen struggling. But yeah.
Okay. So Dortmund, Craig.
Dortmund is. I've got Europa League this year.
Mike?
I've gone Champions League.
Yeah, Champions League, 1-0 to Mike. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a terrible start.
They're in the same group as Arsenal, weren't they?
Yeah. Dortmund? I mean, sorry, Monaco?
Monaco, Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah, Champions League.
Anderlecht?
No, that wasn't a question.
No, Liverpool.
Liverpool. I thought it was Liverpool, then I thought it can't have possibly been.
It's terrible. Liverpool were very briefly Champions League.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was a trick question, so I've gone Champions League and then Europa because they got knocked out in the group stages and actually did go into the Europa League as well.
Yeah, okay.
So that's my answer is both.
That is the correct answer. Craig, what did you get?
Well, I put Champions League because they started.
Well, you're 2-1 down.
What? Right, okay. So now I know that it's nice to know the rules as you go along. It's just like playing against a kid.
Okay, so...
I feel like I'm on the Wii. I don't know what's happening.
Okay, no, right.
Basel was the next one, by the way.
Yeah, Basel. What did you get for Basel?
I put Champions League again because I thought it was just the one...
I put Champions League and actually I think they went through to the next round. So they didn't go in the UEFA.
No, they didn't. So another point each. Okay.
3-2.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. So we didn't want a football blogging award anyway.
Okay. That was the practice round.
What? No, what are you what's happening? No one wants to hear any more of this.
Yeah, they do. Okay, it's now the proper nonsense version.
How many are there?
A couple. Okay, right. We're doing one at a time. Best of five.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so both at the same time, we'll just do it. Yeah. Right, Red Bull Salzburg, Craig.
Oh, Red Bull Salzburg. Red Bull Salzburg. What, do you want me to say? We're just saying it out loud now.
Yeah, well, both write it down at the same time, once you've just both decided.
Yeah. Red Bull Salzburg I've got as Europa League.
Mike. Yeah, I've gone Champions League.
1-0 to Mike.
Ah!
Okay, right. Yeah. Feyenoord.
Okay, Feyenoord, I've got Europa League. Feyenoord, definitely Europa League.
Mike. Yeah, I've got Europa as well.
Oh, Champions League.
What?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
No. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's 1-0 to Mike. Tottenham. We're both going to get that, surely. Mike?
Yeah, Europa.
Yeah, always.
Europa.
Okay. 1-0. I mean, sorry, 2-1 to Mike. Copenhagen?
Copenhagen. I've been there. Lovely. Nice. Lovely. And Christian Hansen statue in the middle of town. So the coins have got holes in them.
Nice.
Okay. I've gone... Are you done, Mike?
Yeah.
I've gone Europa.
I've taken a bit of a punt. I've said Champions League.
Oh, 3-1 to Mike.
Ah, no, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I've lost. That means I've lost.
Oh, no, you have. Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Fortunate.
It's really hard. I don't like losing at something that makes sense and is good. But losing at something that felt like a complete waste of my time and anyone who listens is even worse.
Craig, you're displaying real qualities of being a bad loser.
Yeah, yeah. It's the first time we've seen this.
It's not a bad loser. It's a bad quiz master.
Oh, is that right?
Did you ever watch that, you know, that Mitchell and Webb look? Mitchell and Webb from Peep Show?
Yeah.
Their sketch show, they did Number Wang. And it was just a game show where they went, 27 plus the 33, I've got 4, that's Number Wang. And it just made no sense whatsoever. That's exactly how I feel.
Well, it's funny because Mike, who got all the points, seemed to understand it quite well.
Yeah, well, the thing I don't understand was the lack of Neils.
Where Neil or real? Like... When you said the game, I thought you're gonna name us obscure clubs and you have to guess whether they're real clubs or they're made up clubs. Good game.
Yeah.
Ah, monstrosity.
Well, the second half of it was all right.
Right.
The first round, probably not so good.
Not only did I lose, but however thousands of many listeners we have also lost. Everyone lost.
Definitely being a bad loser now.
Everyone lost except Mike.
Right, it's nice. It's nice to win and, you know. I feel like I'm going to go on a bit of a run now.
Yeah.
Well, say that, but you're never coming back on. No, I'm joking. Obviously, you're coming back on. It's been wonderful having you, except for the last bit, marred the rest of it a little bit. But yeah, and as we do this, genuinely, Ash has just started drinking out of a champagne flute. And I don't know whether he's celebrating what he's just done, which was an absolute aberration. But yeah, so I've lost, so my Twitter handle will be changing apparently over the next 7 days until the next podcast. There's a slim chance we might all be in the same place for the next podcast. Tom will be back. Game week 34 is going to be big. Mike, it's been brilliant having you on, except for the end.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be on. Yeah, enjoyed it a lot,
and you've enlightened us. But tweet us. Mike's going to tweet in his team now that he's a regular contributor to the Gaffer Takes. He'll let us know what his team's like, see how many double game week players he's got in. Ash will do the same at 11:31, but bear with him, he'll have already been up for 3.5 hours on Saturday morning. I'll do the same. Tom will no doubt do it too. And remember, tweet us your teams, no matter how many game week players you got. We want to see that person who's got 11 double game week players. We want to know who you are. Geordie Wilson should be you. You kind of owe us. But yeah, so tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes or email us at info@thegaffertapes.com with any of your teams or questions. Or you can follow us individually on Twitter. You can follow me at Craig Hazel. You can follow Ash at Gremzilla.
Yeah, for any Quizmaster tips.
For any Quizmaster tips. Mike's also on Twitter.
Yeah, at mdravniex.
Have fun finding out how to spell that. It's DRAVNIEKS, right?
Yeah, DRAVNIEKS. And if you follow me, you may or may not get a Toblerone.
Oh,
promises a Toblerone. It's all over the place. And there's still Manager of the Week up for grabs, and you're a third of the way onto a Toblerone. But we'll all be back next week. Tom will be back for Game Week 34 analysis and looking forward to Game Week 35. But that's all we got time for from the Gaffer Tapes for now. So thank you and goodbye.